Well, a new study in the journal Science is raising eyebrows among privacy advocates. Researchers at MIT looked at a pile of credit card data with no customer names attached, 3 months' worth of purchases made at 10,000 stores. And what they found was that they didn't need names to connect the purchases to specific people. All they needed was a few very basic pieces of information: the date of the transaction, the name of the store, the amount spent. MIT professor Sandy Pentland was one of the principal investigators on the study. He's with us now. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, explain what you found here, that looking through big lists of credit card transactions with no names attached, that you could pretty easily pick out who is the one doing the purchasing?
Yeah. What Yves de Montjoy and I found was that all these things that they tell you it's been anonymized aren't really. And here's the thing to sort of imagine. Imagine you went into a store and you bought something, and the clerk now knows your name and that you were in the store, and that they saw you do, you know, go into just a couple of other stores. From that information alone, plus a list of all the things that were bought in a shopping mall, they could figure out what things you bought, all sorts of things about you. So this anonymous stuff isn't really anonymous.
Well, what anonymous stuff are we talking about here? Where are these lists of transactions that people could just go through and try to figure out who you are?
Well, in all of the business processing and also a lot of the government processing of data, they have this idea that if you just strip out the names and put like a code in there instead, then that makes it private. And what we're showing is some of the most common things, like credit cards, that's not really true. All you need is just a little bit more information, you know, having seen one thing that the person bought and then knowing that they went into a couple of other stores. And then you can figure out what things they bought and more.
Can you figure out their name?
Well, you need to get their name off the first thing. Like if they come into your store and hand you a credit card, now you got their name. And now the question is, what else have they bought and what else have they done? And the surprising thing is that it just takes a few other observations to do that.
So you've got companies and hospitals, by the way, this is something that's done in the medical field all the time, that data is collected and then anonymized. It's not anonymous is what you're saying. This calls all that into question.
That's right, yeah. So the result is that we got to stop treating personal data as just something that we give away. We think we can do trivial little things to protect it. Stores, the government, hospitals need to be able to start treating personal data a little more seriously and have this sort of legal framework where there's auditing and you know, licenses to use the data rather than these terms of conditions that nobody understands.
So was this surprising to you?
It was surprising how easy it was, because there's all this work in computer science about rendering things anonymous. And, you know, in fact, in some cases, it's really hard to tell. It's like when everything balances out just right. But here's one of the most common things that happens, buying things with a credit card. And it turns out that very little extra information, information that's commonly available, can re-identify things.
So do you think there is a way, Professor, to truly anonymize data? If they did a better job of this, could they really make it hard to figure out who you are?
No, I think that the thing you need to do is treat data the way we treat money. In other words, when you give somebody personal data, who you are, where you live, things like that, that's like giving them a license to use your data, and they need to give you a receipt that promises that they're not going to share that data without a great deal of caution and that they're responsible for it.
Do you see that happening?
I think that it can happen. You already begin seeing some of that things in some areas. And it's not that big of a change, because we do that with all of our money purchases already.
Professor Sandy Pentland, one of the investigators on this study, and we've got more information about it at our website, hereandnow.org. Professor, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Here and Now.